Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
This morning we were blessed by Pastor Daniel. He started a new series this morning under new management, and we just want to continue again on that new series this evening, again as we continue just to think about, again under new management, again from the Word of God. This evening I want to share a simple story from the Word of God, from Luke's Gospel, and also through the course of the evening, just to share, again, three personal testimonies, three personal stories, just to illustrate, again, God's word, again, this evening. So I pray that this evening, that, again, you'll be encouraged and you'll be challenged, but most of all, that, again, your heart will be open to what God has sent to you this evening. Amen. So let's turn to the Word of God under new management. Miracles and Healings is the title of my message tonight, and we want to read the verses that was read this morning. I want to read one verse from this morning, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 for context. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And we want to turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel is my favorite Gospel of all the four Gospels, because Luke is good at telling stories, and I love stories from the Word of God. I love the parables when Jesus Christ, he told stories himself. So Luke chapter 17, and we'll read from verse 11 through to 18, this wonderful story of being under new management. "Now it happened as he went," that's Jesus, "as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?'" And God will bless the reading of his precious word. I just want to pray this evening. Our God and Father, we just give you thanks for your word. And we just pray tonight that, your verses that we've read, and that what is said tonight, Father, it's your voice that will be heard. Father, I just pray that I will disappear into the background, and it'll be your voice, and it'll be your, name that will come to the forefront tonight, and it'll be you that will receive all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to think about this subject tonight, under new management. I really, as I said, appreciated, Daniel opening up this new series this morning with the different messages that he has had, business as usual and under new management, the different illustrations that he gave. And tonight we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, and we were reading about these words: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away." I want to really be simple this evening at the commencement of this message. That what does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? First of all, I want to think, Ken, what does it mean when you're not in Christ? Okay, so if you're not in Christ, what does that again really mean? Well, it simply means that you're not again in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and your personal Savior. We might use the expressions you're not saved, or being born again. You're not part of the family of God. But again, we want to say this, that when you're in Christ, when you've made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, and ask for your sins to be given, that moment when you're saved, you're born again, you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a transaction. That is the moment when you are in Christ. So when the apostle is writing here in the book of Corinthians to the church in Corinth, he's telling the people, getting things in their mind that, look, when you're outside of Christ, can you're living your own life, you're doing your own thing. But when you appreciate that Jesus Christ died for your sins and shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary, that's a gospel message this evening, then when you've accepted Jesus Christ, and that could have been a simple prayer, again, it's at that moment that you are in Christ. And that's the big decision, the biggest decision that you'll ever make in your life, is to make that decision to be in Christ, to be saved, to be born again, to be in a relationship again with Jesus Christ. This is why the church exists, to proclaim the message of the gospel to everyone. Again, if it's in a church or if it's on a street, again, it could be simply up just in the corner beside the Royal Bank of Scotland, can faithful men of God and women of God doing in Drummer's Corner, testifying again to the goodness of God through the saving power again of Jesus Christ. So we want to encourage you tonight, especially the young people. I just love it watching the worship team and the different ages that come all the way through. And I know, can the older people are encouraging the younger people in the worship team, the same with Mega Kids and with Apex Kids. Just love the generations and the vision for the Apex Center, Stuart and Jen. Just this next generations is going to come up is a real encouragement. How important it is when our children or when our youths are young that they accept the Lord Jesus Christ again as their Lord and Savior. And once we're in Christ, we are then part of the family of God, okay? And if you're under new management, you have then got a new boss, and you came into that, again, relationship, having a new boss. And I had something simple picture in my mind. It's Neil often speaks about when he was adopted, and he came into the household again with his mom and his dad, adopted parents, and how he was no different, but he was always called the golden boy. He was a favorite one, I believe. He's agreeing. And we'll see what Wendy says, but she knows that he was a special one. He was a golden boy. But when you're in that house, when you're in Christ, I always think, well, who's in charge of that house? Well, it's Father God. It's Father God, and I come in under his protection. I come in under his love. Everything that he does, I am the recipient, of that love. And when we're growing up, specifically maybe with boys and up, we'd often spend time with, our parents, our fathers. And those things that our dads could do, and we would brag about, and we'd be proud of how our dad maybe could fix a simple thing in our bicycle, or maybe could fix something in the home and that. And your dad's had a talent, and you'd be so happy with, hey, my dad can do this, and my dad's special on that basis. I want to tell you the same with Father God today. You've got a loving God that loves you, and when you're in his house, he loves you and he cares for you. But when you're in that house and you're in Christ, you're under that new management, there's something that God wants to give and God wants to show you when you're living again in his house and under his management. And some of these things I really believe are healings and miracles. And I believe God is a healer. I believe God is a miracle-working God. And I'm going to testify to that this evening. You see, when you're not in Christ, you don't appreciate, you don't understand what God can really do. But when you're in Christ and you're living in that house and you're living under the Father, then you know what the Father is able to do. As I illustrate with our parents, things that they were able to do that we're proud of. And that's with our Father God tonight. There's things that He is able to do because He's a healing God. He's a miracle can work in God. And that's why we read in Luke chapter 17 this lovely, lovely story kind of about healing and about the miraculous. And I just love this, again, passage, again, of Scripture. And before I come to that, I've just completely lost my way with my notes this evening. But I want to explain, what's the difference between a miracle and with a healing? Can we manage to get this up again tonight? Well, a miracle, if we can get the slide up. Yeah, what does a miracle mean this evening? Well, very, very simply, again, a miracle is something instantaneous that is not practically, again, or humanly possible. I'm going to read that again. It's something instantaneous that is not practically or humanly possible. For example, I'll illustrate when Jesus calmed the sea, when it was that storm and he spoke and there was a great calm. That was a miracle. When Jesus turned water into wine, none of us could do that. That was a miracle. When Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 small fish, McDonald's could never do that, but Jesus Christ can. Amen? That is a miracle. So what is a healing? If you can get up the definition from the New Testament, again, a healing. What does healing mean? Again, simply, again, it means to heal, cure, or restore. I like that last one. Somebody needs a healing. They need things restored. As when Daniel spoke about people needing miracles and healings, again, healings can be in your body, can be an illness, and Daniel even mentioned could even be in a relationship. Can you need healing, again, in a relationship, in a difficult, again, situation? Maybe some people have gone through and they know what I'm speaking about, again, their lives. And we just pray, God, that, again, that you'll understand what's the difference between a miracle, instantaneous, and healing again this evening. We'll always say that the greatest miracle is that miracle of salvation. That is a real miracle. How somebody can be taken that no care from God, and in a simple transaction, they, from being in the outside, that they are on the inside again of the family of God, under again new management. Can we believe in miracles and healing again this evening? Because it's God again that again is in control. I need to share my first story tonight, and I do apologize. Many people have heard this testimony, this story before of a miracle that I experienced in my own life. But there may be somebody here tonight and you've never heard me share this story. And I just wanted to share a story about a miracle, how I was impacted again in my life. Back in 2007, I went to Philippines for the very first time. I went to visit in the hospitals there when there's no NHS as we know it. If you don't have finance, you don't have money, you're not going to be treated unless you've got, the money to pay for the treatment. And we saw things that we didn't think were, possible, again, in the day and age that we live. I've been so blessed in the UK. We pay our taxes, but we get the blessing of the NHS and wonderful, wonderful medical staff that many people in this room, again, have really benefited from in an amazing way. And that's our family, again, as well. But the first Wednesday morning, along with Grace and a number of people, went to hospital and there was a boy here we prayed for. We get his picture up. And I'll get the one before it, Jetsa one. And we saw this boy, and his name was called Joshua. And Joshua had cut his finger, but unlike in the UK, he now had a tetanus injection. He was growing up, and he now had septicemia. His blood was poisoned. And the bottom line is, he was dying, and he not, again, a miracle in his life that in the Philippines, there's no auxiliary, again, nurses to care for you. There's a qualified nurse for the medical care, but you've family members come and they become your auxiliary and they care for you. So we prayed for this boy called Joshua. There was, again, his mother and also his grandmother caring for the boy. We prayed for him, and again, we laid our hands on him, and we were believing again for a real miracle again in this boy. Pastor Mark Ritchie, who we were visiting there, was a missionary from Fraserburgh, and he told us when we went into the hospital, he said, many of you have maybe, again, growing up, living in the northeast of Scotland, and we're so used to seeing what the NHS can do. And also in our faith, we're maybe believing we're Pentecostal Christians, but he said, you're Pentecostal with not a capital P in the letter, but with a small p, because we'll pray safe prayers, okay? And we'll say the prayers like this: Lord, guide the surgeon's hand. Who's prayed that prayer before? Lord, guide the surgeon's hand if it's an operation. Lord, give the medical staff wisdom. Give them knowledge in performing, again, examinations. And different, we will pray safe prayers. But Mark Ritchie encouraged us with, set a small p to be capital P. And they say, go and believe in it. God can do a miracle. Okay, no, we believe in the doctors and gifts that they've got, but believe in a miracle. God can do the miraculous, and God can do healing in people's lives. So when we went to pray for this boy, we really believed it, a capital P, that God was going to heal this boy of a septicemia, again on that basis, and a blood poison, and he would be sorted out, and he would basically jump out of his bed. That's what we thought, and that's how we prayed and how we felt grace in himself. That was on a Wednesday. Again, we went away back to UK that weekend. And then it was like a week and a half later, I was in contact with Mark Ritchie. And he said, hey, David, we're back to the hospital this past Wednesday. And could you tell me this? Did you pray for a boy called Joshua? And I'm thinking, oh, yes. I pray for a boy, Joshua, and grace. And we were at Pentecostals with a capital P. And, oh, yes, we prayed. And I thought Mark Ritchie's going to tell us. It's been a great miracle. The guide going better. And praise the Lord. And again, all the rest. And Mark Ritchie said, well, we went to the hospital on Wednesday, and the family were there to meet us. And they gave us a report that after he went away, not long after, the boy grew worse and worse and worse. And the boy actually died. And I thought, what good was my prayers? What good was Grace's prayers? We'd pray for a boy, and the boy had died. The story goes on, the medical staff had came, signed a death certificate, checked all the vital signs, death certificate was signed. But the grandmother remembered how the so-called church people had prayed in a fervent manner for the boy. And this grandmother, she started to pray over the body again of her grandson. It had actually died, the death certificate and everything had been written. And God did a miracle, because the boy called Joshua came back to life. And that's the next picture. And he was waiting there for Mark Ritchie, because the people knew every week the church people went to pray. And they were waiting to pass on the good news. And when we met his boy, the reason he's holding up a thumb here is that if you knock your nail with a hammer, remember, your nail is black for like weeks in end. This guy's finger was black when we saw him. And 1 week later, he's holding up his thumb. No evidence of black or anything. Again, complete healing. A miracle. That's a miracle. Go on, come give the Lord a praise. And through that experience, it wasn't David Stein or Grace Stein that prayed for this boy. This is a grandmother that remembered how the church people had prayed. And it's God who gets all the glory in an instance like this. I can't explain it. I don't have to. There's times I've prayed for people and can things in a word to how I wanted, but God was in control, and that person was in God's hand. That circumstance was in God's hand. But once you've experienced something like this with Josh, I can tell you that my faith level at times is completely different when you've experienced what God can do, and God can do the miraculous. Amen, amen, amen this evening. Again, we just pray this evening that can you're challenged, can in your faith today. I'm thinking as young people in the front, I just pray that in your life, be encouraged with stories like this, not knowing what through your prayers God can do through you. And we want to really encourage you, this next generation that's growing up, can we want you to run? We're pushing you on. We want you to run. Can with your faith, can this evening. We want to, again, catch up again along behind you again with that. Our story goes on again in Luke chapter 17, that we've got these 10 men with leprosy. Terminal illness. It just comes upon your body. It's so visible. And with that, you're outcast from your family, outcast from society. When you're walking about, you have to cry out again these words, unclean, unclean, so that people will not come near you, so that they will not be, receive this contagious disease passed from you to them. And when you had leprosy, you really were on the outside. You were outcast in that basis. But in this lovely story this evening, that we've got a lovely message of Jesus Christ that said that as he was going to Jerusalem in Luke chapter 17, we know why he was going to Jerusalem. Everything was being lined up for that moment that Jesus Christ was going to die on the cross and shed his blood for our sins. But as he traveled through the villages, through Galilee and Samaria, he said he came through a certain village, and here was these 10 lepers. No doubt before they had cried, unclean, unclean, again on that basis. And it comes along that, again, they stopped, and here was Jesus Christ, and they cried to Jesus, Lord, have mercy on us. I love it when they came, they knew who Jesus was. Jesus, Lord, have mercy again on us. And this evening, again, we point you to Jesus Christ this evening, the one that can forgive you again of your sin, one that can change your life completely all round about. They came and asked the right question, Lord, have mercy. Because when you ask for mercy, it's undeserved. When I received mercy when I was 7 years old, when I accepted Jesus Christ, I didn't deserve it. I was born a sinner. I was on the outside of Christ. But when I accepted Jesus Christ, I was then, therefore I was in Christ, a new creation. Praise God. The old had been passed away. Behold, all had become again new. And Jesus Christ, he simply said to these men, he simply said, look, go and show yourself to the high priest. Because it was a high priest, there were priestly people, were the people who would confirm if you'd had a healing again in your body. There were people that would confirm, yes, you're healed, or you've had a miracle. And Jesus didn't even touch them. He said, go and show yourself to the high priest. And as they went, I think we can get the words up here. And as they went, I love this, as they went, they were cleansed. And on a journey that we're going to the high priest, they must have looked at their hands and their physical features and saw that they've been healed, they've been cleansed of, again, the disease that they had. What a moment that must have been, walking to see the priest, and their life was completely changed. They'd been on the outside, and now they were able to come back and to integrate back into society in that basis. They didn't deserve the mercy. They didn't deserve the healing, but they were taken back in. And they were, because it said that one of them, only one, he came and he fell at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's the one we have to fall at the feet at again tonight. He came back with a thankful heart. And it's good tonight when we sing our praise and our worship to come with a thankful heart for what God again has done again in your life and what God has done in my life. And Jesus said, were there not 9, but there's only this Samaritan, the one that was a foreigner, the one that was outcast, he was the one that came back. And what a privilege it is for us that we're, again, that we're grafted in. Okay, we were the outcast, we were the foreigner, we're grafted in again to God's plan and into God's tree, as God's family tree on that basis. So we just rejoice when God comes along and God does the miracle that as they went, they were cleansed. As they walked, and this is my words, as they walked, again, they were healed on that basis. I want to share a story this evening. Maybe get the first picture up, AJ. Going back to... Moving on. That's the one. Going back to 2013, it was that during that year, again, I'd started on a journey with Assemblies of God to get ministerial accreditation through Assemblies of God. And when I started that journey, which is through different training and different things involved with that, I thought, hey, great to be involved. And my health deteriorated, okay? In October 2013, I started losing weight. And for 2 months, I was getting iller and iller. I went backwards and forwards to the doctor. This test, different doctors, another test. And they were just trying to work out what was the problem. Again, my body was just losing weight and again, iller and iller. I went to my office in the morning and I had to go straight back home. I was so ill on that basis. And I remember being in church in December. And again, Pastor Neil, during the morning service, says, David, come out to the congregation. We need to pray for you. I must have looked bad, okay, for Neil to ask me to come out. So I went to it, and Neil prayed for my health at that time. And 1 week later, I still wasn't any better. And Neil did something I'd never seen him do before. He asked me to come out again the second Sunday morning. And I think I must really be bad if he's asked me to come out the second week in that basis, again, to pray for healing again in my body. I was really, really bad. And things got worse that, again, on Christmas Eve, I went down to the Apex Centre to prepare for, we're doing a meal with International Fishermen, and I thought, I'll prepare everything on Christmas Eve, so I went ahead and doing early in Boxing Day in the morning. And a number of years before that, I'd been silly in church, these type of chairs, I've been lifting too much of them, which I got told not to do, and I gave myself a hernia, and then I got the operation, and I was the 1 in 100 that the operation, I kind of like when things go wrong and there's great pain levels after. I was the 1 in 100. So I'll never lift big piles of chairs because I knew about this pain. And I thought, oh no. So what happened was on Christmas Eve, I was on one and I lifted something I shouldn't have lifted. And immediately the opposite side where I had this previous hernia, a searing pain came right through my body. And I knew what had happened. I'd popped a hernia at the other side and I was excruciating pain on Christmas Eve. On Christmas Day, when you're supposed to be in your turkey and everything, I couldn't even sit in the chair properly, trying to keep the weight off of where I knew it was a hernia and a great pain. Again, we had the meal in the box and day, and then on the day after that, we had to travel down to Wales. And I remember traveling down on the airplane. I was in mortal agony going down again to Wales. And I was staying down with Mark Ritchie, our good friend again, and he was new at the Bible College of Wales. When there's great history about an intercessor called Rhys Howells and Evan Roberts with the Welsh Revival at the beginning of the 1900s. And I've been reading about these guys and about the miracles and the different things, the intercessory prayer that these people had done. And I'm in pain, right? I've been losing weight and having it going better. I've now gone and done myself. I believe I've got a hernia. I'm in pain. And I think, God, I'm angry at you. If you've ever been in that position, I'm angry at God about your health. So what I would do, I would get up in the morning and I knew about these men of God, Rhys Hills, they'd walk along the cliffs. There's lots of different walks doing in this area besides Swansea. So we go to the way we're staying. Everybody was else in bed and I put on my jacket, my walking shoes, and I would go along these coastal pathways praying, God, I need you to do something in my body. And as I walked, as I walked every morning, and this was therefore came 1 week, and when I went there with great pain, the day that I left, I can testify to God that as I walked, the healing hand of God was upon me. When I was angry, thinking, God, I'm not going to have time in January, February, March to get an operation. I said, I've got too much things and working and ministry lined up. Then I left that cliff pass and get the next one up again, AJ, next picture. Again, here's a path. I walked along that path. And as I walked that pathway of life, again, I believe healing came upon my body. Praise God. I want to encourage you again, as that man, that leper's walked, can I want to build your faith up tonight that maybe God sent to you, there's something I want to do. I want to do a healing again in your body. that when you've reached the end of your road, when you've reached the end of your solutions, even it could be when you've reached the end of medical solutions, I want to tell you, God is ready, God is waiting for you to call upon God. My son is a pharmacist, okay? He believes in other medical things, and so do I. I make it perfectly clear that you've got to be wise. If a doctor says this is what you have to have, we believe that you should follow what the doctor says. But I also do believe this, that God is the great physician. God is the great healer. God is a miracle working, again, power not basis. And this evening, my heart is really for you this evening to say, hey, I believe God can do a healing. God can do a miracle in your body. I told that story. It was actually back in December 2013, the beginning of January 2014. And as the band is coming up, this is just, I want to give a bit of testimony, just a recent testimony before I come to close this evening. Earlier, again, for quite a number of years, I've had asthma on a seasonal basis. Now, anybody that's in this room this evening that knows about asthma, that when the seasons change, specifically September, October, and the dark nights come in a boot, as we would say, and the sort of atmosphere changes. Again, a lot of people, if you've got asthma, you know that your asthma will start to flare up at that time of year. And for years and years, I've been taking these asthma inhalers. You'll know them if you look at them. Okay, here's the preventer, and here's the other one. And I've took these for years, over the winter months. Last year, it was the worst my asthma had ever been. And I was taking these asthma inhalers, and for about January right through to the beginning of April, I had constant throat infections as the inhaler was affecting the back of my throat. And okay, my job, I'm speaking and speaking, came with my job, and I wasn't getting any better. And I was getting frustrated why I wasn't getting the back of these throat infections. And I went away on holiday, and I spent time with God just the beginning of April. And I said, God, you're going to have to do something in my lungs. I've been taking asthma inhalers, as the doctor said, I believe in, again, a prescription. But I need you to do something, again, in my body. So I stopped taking asthma inhaler, and my son rebuked me, okay? If there's any medical people here tonight, there's one thing you shouldn't do is completely stop taking your asthma inhalers, because this is a steroid, and a steroid stimulates things in your body, and if you stop them immediately, you'll get palpitations if your body's not getting the steroid on a regular basis. But I got angry with God, I'm confessing that, and I said, God, I've got a problem, but I'm going to stop taking these against my son's advice. And I pray to God, God, do a healing in my body, do a healing in my body. And I started to walk, and I remember walking in that holiday saying, God, just improve my throat, my chest, and everything. In the beginning of April 2018, I stopped taking that inhalers. So we come along to September, October 2018. The dark nights come down. The damp weather comes along. And I just felt something. Wow, is that going to be the start of the asthma coming back? And I said, God, I'm not going to take my asthma inhalers. And that's what I did. But what I did instead, I increased the time I spent with God. Can I walk further and longer than I'd ever done? I said, God, I'm going to suck in the northeast air more and more and more. I'm going to increase the volume it's passing across my lungs. I'm not a doctor, but this is what I'm going to do, believing that you can do something, a healing in my lungs. And I went to the asthma clinic, this was scheduled, and the lady says, well, how often do you take your inhalers? And I told her exactly my story, I testified to her, and I said, well, hey, they're there if you need them, take them. We thought it's good. And I knew that if I took a chest infection, I wouldn't be silly, I would take them, okay? So I'm being sensible if I took a chest infection. But for my asthma, I said, God, I want you to do something in my body. So, folks, this is February the 10th. We've maybe got maybe 5-6 weeks, maybe, of the real winter to come. And I haven't taken one puff of these since the beginning of April 2018. And I can only share my story to you this evening, that as I walked, and I spent time with God, praying to God, God, come in your mercy, come in your healing. As I spent time with God, I believe that healing has come upon my body again on that basis. But what about you this evening? As we close this evening tonight, have you received the miracle kind of salvation? Just as you close your eyes and bow your heads this evening, I just want to challenge you. Maybe you've come into church tonight and you've never received God's promise of salvation. You're maybe not in Christ, but tonight you say, God, I need that miracle of salvation again tonight. Well, if that's you tonight, I want you simply just to raise your hand and we will pray for you. I'm not going to again keep asking, but if there is anybody this evening and you feel, God, I need salvation, I need the miracle of salvation, I want you quickly raise your hand this evening. Amen.